The good news is, since I didn't really fully prepare this, it probably won't take as long. But John chapter 15, I'm going to preach something tonight called Walking in the Reality of God's Choice. Walking in the Reality of God's Choice. The Lord put this message in my heart several weeks ago. I really thought I was going to be preaching it at a camp meeting. I normally preach in September. I was going to preach on the compassion of Jesus Christ tonight, but this, the Lord just really seemed to be clear that this is where we're supposed to go tonight, so I trust He knows better than me. So that's all I'm saying just for a moment as we honor the reading of the Word of God. In John chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse number 12, and just look at a few verses tonight. Again, walking in the reality of God's choice. In John 15, in verse 12, the Word of God says this, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Father in heaven, please magnify yourself through preaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. A few different thoughts tonight. It's really been an encouraging passage for me as I've meditated on the past several weeks, and hopefully it'll be a strength to you. As we think about walking in the reality of God's choice, God tells us in verse number 16 that He chose us. We didn't choose Him. You know, He made us, number one. So since He made us to belong to Him initially. But there's a few things in this passage that will help us as we endeavor to attempt to serve the Lord and to glorify the Lord. And as we heard from the hearts in tune tonight, as we attempt even to worship the Lord. First thing I want you to notice, number one, is if you're taking notes, first of all, is God's designation. God's designation. You might say God makes a declaration here, whatever you feel is most appropriate. But He says in verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." God says, "You're my friend." That's a great designation by God, a great declaration that He would say, "Hey, we're His friends." He's saying that He is our friend. And that's better now. He says we're His friends if we do whatever He commands us. But God lets you and I know up front that He is our friend. And thank God for the Bible fact that says that a friend loveth at all times, no matter what spiritual condition you came in here tonight. If you're a child of God, God is your friend. He loves you at all times. And even without Christ, He already showed His love, because greater love hath no man than this, that a man shall lay down his life for his friends. So God wants to encourage you and I tonight as we walk in His choice for our lives, that, wait a minute, He said, "I'm your friend." He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone." We talk about the glorious fact of the Holy Spirit here. He said, "I won't leave you comfortless." Amen. He left us the Holy Spirit to help us, encourage us, and to be there with us in times of difficulty, in times of victory. You know, it's a great thing even to have the Holy Spirit in times of victory. You know, if you're having a great victory, you know, you'd like to share it with somebody. Amen. You'd like to have the joy. Amen. I had a glorious, wonderful day with the Lord. I mean, I was up to 3 o'clock this morning just talking to the Lord and just meditating on things. And I got up at 7 and it just had a great time. And I was so glad about it, but I'm glad you're here to share it with. Amen. Thank God for the glorious fact of being able to walk with God and have time with Him. But so he makes a declaration. When he designates you now, he said, wait, I'm your friend. Second thing we should look at is what I would call here the word God's ordination. He said, I ordained you. Now, we know he's chosen us. But when you ordain someone, you kind of set them apart in a different light. I was looking at my ordination certificate that said how after witnessing the call, the gifts of the calling, they ordained or set me apart, the church did, to do the work of God. And God has, for his choices, he has ordained you. He set you apart. That's why our lives are meant. That's why there was a yearning in hearts tonight to worship God in a different, in a greater way, because of God's ordination, because of God setting you apart, because God set you apart. There is that hunger. There is that craving to be what God wants you to be, because that's his desire for you. And that hunger is there because you've been ordained, you've been set apart, and so your life is not complete, it's not fulfilled, unless you walk in the reality of God's ordination. Is setting apart for your life. And he's chosen us for that. Again, it's not based on our merit or our qualifications. Thank God for that. I'd be in hell if I was chosen, if I got exactly what I deserve. I'm not qualified for anything except but hell, because I'm a sinner, and according to the Word of God, all sinners deserve to die. I had to say it in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All sinners earn that death sentence. That's exactly what every single person in this room is guaranteed qualified for. But God, who is rich in mercy, says, I will give you better than you deserve if you'll just but turn in your heart and trust me. Thank God for that. Amen. That's good news any day of the week. Amen. And especially good on the Lord's Day, today. Amen. But he says, I've ordained you. So he makes a declaration. Or he makes it however you want to say. He says, I'm your friend. That's good news. And he said, now I chose you, but I want you to understand something. I've ordained you. I've set you apart for something. Many different times, he speaks of different designations, of ordinations. He said, you are what? The light of the world. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You know, almost every recipe has some salt in it. Salt is the key ingredient in several different things. Even if you bake something, I was amazed at how many cookie recipes. You don't taste the salt, but if you, unless you want a flat cookie, the salt activated the baking powder, so it rises. It's important, you know. And when we're the, you know, and since ye are the salt of the earth, God chose you that people might be able to rise out of their current condition to a better condition. Those who are lost without Christ, walking in death right now, God has the salt of the earth here. He's ordained you so they may rise out of that condemnation. And they can have their own ordination, amen. They can be set apart too. So you've not chosen me, but I've chosen and ordained you. And then now he makes it clear to us that he gives us our occupation. Notice what he says next. That ye should go. Ye should go. It's good that we're here, but God wants us to go. Tomorrow, Monday, you're supposed to be involved in your occupation. Going. Telling others about Jesus Christ. Witnessing. Going. Representing. Walking in your ordination. Hey, rejoicing in the fact, hey, that God made a declaration. Hey, God's my friend, you know. Hey, you know, hey, somebody, how's your weekend? It's pretty good. God's my friend. How was yours? Amen. Thank God for that. You know, I was at Tim Horton this morning. I was talking to the guy. He was holding his daughter. I said, you've got a beautiful blessing of God in your hands, you know. I said, God's given me six of them. He said, wow, praise the Lord. He didn't say praise the Lord, but he said, wow. And I got to talking with the guy, and I was telling him how God changed my life, and the guy's been married, he said, been married 2 years, and this, he said, it's been a fight every step of the way. And I said, that's what God has me here today, to talk to you about Jesus Christ, because our initial starting was rough too, but Jesus is the answer. And I got to testify and tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, walking in my ordination, and in the reality, God set me apart to bring him out of his situation. The guy said, he said, I gave him a gospel tract, and he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to call you. I said, I pray you do. Because because God can help you. And that's what we're here for, to go. Everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. We should see people. People that have needs. Greatest need, they need Christ. And this is there again, our worldview. And I'm saying Jesus had compassion on people that had difficulty earthly situations. But the moment you see someone and their life is and on their life is written, they don't know God. If you're a child of God, sometimes you say, sick them. And you think, wow, this is what I'm here for. And this is what I've been ordained for. This is what I've been set apart for. And this is what God's my friend for. That's what God's your friend. Walk in your ordination. Thank God for that. And he said, you should go. And here's what I want to spend the most time on. Like I said, I didn't have time to really study in detail. I don't have as many verses as I would probably normally like to have with it, but maybe you'll meditate and God will give you your own. The last thing, or the next thing, maybe the last, I can't remember since, again, is the expectation. Now, if you're a child of God, this is where we need the faith for. Because the occupation says to go. But many don't go because there's no expectation. He said to go. First thing he says is that when you go, to bring forth fruit. Now, God's choice, now, keep in mind, this was God's choice. He declared, he's your friend, ordained you, set you apart for the work whereunto he's called you. He said, go. And he said, go, expecting to bring forth some fruit. That's why we don't witness sometimes. We don't expect any fruit from it. We look at that person on the job, and we think, man, that person's hopeless, you know. That's why we do what I call backdoor witnessing. We try to talk about everything else, try to squeeze our way in, instead of saying, hey, man, you need Christ. I was at the gym playing basketball with the boys, and I was sitting on the side with a couple guys, and I started talking to them about Jesus Christ, telling them how much they need Christ, how Jesus changed my life, and that he's the answer for every situation. And I was in the family locker room, because I don't use the men's locker room, because men run around in there naked, and I still think it's not good to see naked people. One of the staff, he didn't think I knew what they had. The men's locker room closed for a while, and he was trying to be helpful. And he said, the men's locker room is open. I said, no. I said, I always come in here because I don't like to see naked men running around and talking to me, you know. He said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. But he got to talking to me. The guy was Muslim, and I got to tell him about Jesus Christ. I told him that God had changed my life and gave me a desire for holiness. I said, I grew up playing athletics and sports, and I never had it. It was just a common thing you did. You went around, when I got saved, I thought, this doesn't make any sense. And it's no wonder, after years and years of athletics, of men being naked around other men, we have so much sodomy and all kind of other things that go on. And anyway, I got to tell him about Jesus Christ and the reality of that. And I was thinking there, and when I was sitting there talking to him, I said, God, put me in that place for him. And I expect some fruit. Now, I may not see it myself, but I'm so thankful that when I quoted the Word of God, I believe what he said in Isaiah 55, that it did not return void. It accomplished what it's supposed to do. It has some fruit. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. Right now, it's probably burning in the heart of that person. John Matthew, the person I gave that gospel tract to, he's reading that gospel tract. He's probably in the Spirit of God. It's moving. It's going to bring some fruit. That's what we should expect. Now let's take the reality of your life, bring it even closer. You should go. Most importantly, we through the worship, go where? Away from yourself. And you should expect to have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. You should expect to have the love. You expect to have the joy from the Holy Ghost. Not from everything we can get, everything we can do, but from the Holy Ghost. You should go. When you leave this place, you should go to spend time with God and go to do something with the Lord, with the Lord, with the Lord, and expect some fruit in your life, what God calls fruit. You'd expect to have some joy from being with the Lord. Expect to have some peace from being with the Lord. Expect to have some goodness and some temperance, some self-control, and some more faith. Amen. He says, that should be your expectation. Because that's what you were chosen for. You are chosen to have the type of Christian life that's that we see whole scale that is represented. No joy, no peace, no goodness, no temperance, no faith. Majority of profession that we see, that's what we see. And God, that's why you don't look toward other people. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. We look at God and we determine that we're going to walk in the reality of God's choice for our life. That this was God's choice. First of all, if nothing else, I've got good news because God is my friend. Amen. That's enough right there. You know, I'll say it again. You ought to go to work tomorrow and tell somebody that I saw in the Word of God, based on the fact that I belong to Jesus Christ, God is my friend. Amen. And if you can't say that, then be saved tonight. Amen. You be glad you did. Hey, God will be your friend. Thank God for that. He's already done for you what friends do. He's laid his life down for you. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So God is a friend. He says, now the expectation to go and to bring forth fruit. Now, I know most people in this room for a little bit of time. And almost everybody here has had times, I know, of spiritual fruit. We've had revival meetings, and the Spirit of God has flooded the place where we meet. And you can see the joy of the Holy Ghost in people. I mean, and I've seen people brokenhearted and weeping, but after getting cleansed from their sin before God, then the joy unspeakable and full of glory just kind of overshadowed them, and then that Holy Ghost glow just comes over again. It's sweet, amen. I was listening to my daughter's song, they called Do You Remember? And I finally became technologically sound enough to put it in my BlackBerry so I can listen to it when I was at the park praying today. And I thought, I was like, Lord, I do remember. But you know, God, for your life, now here's the expectation, this is where most of us miss it. Your expectation should be more than a memory. How many remember some of the good revival meetings we had? How do you remember when the Spirit of God moved at the first camp that we had? I mean, remember that? The time we had the camp and the different retreats. And maybe you can just think of different, I can think of just different services. When God moved, you're like, wow, God was here. But God said, that's not just supposed to be a memory. Because there was spiritual fruit in those days, but he said our expectation is not the memory. Do you see what it says there? What's the expectation? Somebody tell me if you read ahead. Anybody see it? What do we expect about that spiritual fruit? It's right in the passage. It should remain. It should remain. It's not just a memory. And this is where even that part of the song said, forget about yourself. See, you're kept by the power of God against the redemption. If you're a Christian and Satan's trying to convince you failed more than you've done right, first of all, you're not supposed to listen to Satan anyway. The Bible says, cease to hear from him that's not speak according to words of knowledge. You just rebuke the devil and go on. The Lord rebuke thee. I have no conversation with thee. My Savior didn't speak like that. Because see, you think about this. God only speaks of your sin to get you to turn from it. If you sinned back in 2007 and you repented whatever time, that's done. Now, if you're doing something today, then God just says, get out of that. But he's not telling you to look back over that situation that you did this, you did that. And he said, no, that's the way Satan does, because he's the accuser. Because if you confess your faults, according to 1 John 1:9, you're clean, right? And so forget about whatever happened even yesterday. Hey, can we get even closer? Forget about even what happened this morning. If you weren't spiritual this morning, hey, just repent, put it past you, and go. Expecting to bring forth some spiritual fruit in your life, and expect it based on the authority and the reality of God's choice for you. Then it'll remain. And walk in it. Walk in the reality of that. Wait a minute. This is, there again, it's not based on your choice. This was God's choice, you know. And see, when you remember that, it takes a whole different, it gives prayer a whole new meaning. Because you're going expecting to meet with God. You go expecting to go and be representative of God. And you're expecting to go and have a profitable existence in your ordination. Because you're going to bring forth some fruit. And you're expecting it to remain. And you're expecting prayer to mean something. You're expecting prayer to be real in your life. Notice what it says next. That whatsoever, I like that word. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So what God is saying is based on his choice for your life, since he's your friend, as you go, as you bring forth fruit, as your fruit remains, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you need something that's completely impossible for you to get. Can I get a witness? Because you're going to find yourself as you go, as you bring forth fruit, and your fruit remains. You're going to find yourself that you need something to continue on in your worship for God that's completely impossible for you to do it. And so then, well, what's the hope? Well, how can I expect to make it in this situation? Lord, I've been going. Lord, I'm bringing forth fruit. Lord, my fruit's remaining. I've got a lasting joy. I've got a lasting peace. I've got a lasting rest in you. Lord, now I'm in this situation. I need something. There's nothing I can do in this situation. Wait a minute. This is a good place to be. Because, wait a minute. Someone very important. Someone that has authority. And wait, someone that doesn't just have power, but has all power. They're my friend. And you know what? I think I could, since this is something that would please my friend, I'm quite sure I could just ask him for it. And since he's my friend, he's laid down his life for me already, proving it. And what I'm doing is pleasing in his sight, and this thing that I need to remain pleasing in his sight. I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name, I'm going to expect God to give it. Why? Because it was God's choice. That's what he chose you for. He chose you. He chose me for our lives to be in situations where we needed some whatsoevers. I started looking at Brother Mark's face when I said, let's pray God, make double his money. I saw a look in your face when I said that. And then you chastised me a few weeks later. God came pretty close to doing that. That was a whatsoever. That's just money. That's just money. That's temporal things that come and go. There's more whatsoevers in this room. There's lots of whatsoevers. And the great thing about being a child of God is as one of his chosen, God's your friend. He declared it. He said, because he tells you, see, a servant, see, when people, when you're working, if you're a servant, you're working for a master, this is that kind of, that type of relationship. They're not letting you know what's going on. But God, notice what he says here. I told you all things I've heard of my Father. He told us all things I've heard of the Father. We're friends. He said, I'm your friend. And as your friend, I've chosen you. And I've chosen you. What have you chosen me for? Well, he said, well, let me get this to you. I ordained you. I set you apart to go. I set you apart to bring forth fruit. I set you apart to have fruit that remains, and I set you apart to be in situations where you could not help yourself and no one could help you. I set you apart in situations so that you could ask me for whatsoever's, and I could give it. Somebody, if you're saved, you ought to praise God for being chosen. You ought to praise God for being your friend. You ought to praise God for ordaining you, setting you apart. The only thing that could be hindering right now any joy in your life if you really are saved is lack of trust in God's word. I mean, does this sound like a bad existence? Alexa, does this sound like a bad existence? What do you think, Mark? It sounds like a bad existence to be a chosen of God. What about you, Christine? Does that sound like a bad way to live? To be set apart, God to be your friend. He's setting you apart for a life that goes. You know, think about this. You know, God's word is so perfect. How many people here in the world, man, my life is going nowhere. You hear that all the time, don't you? But you're not going. You're not going in his behalf. And when you get the vision and you go on his behalf, your life is going somewhere. I mean, I thought about today. I mean, here I am at a Tim Hortons, and I'm sitting here with my father, my friend, in a situation to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. I just go. Here I am with my son spending time on the basketball court, and I'm talking to these two young men, and here I am in a situation to make an eternal difference in somebody's life. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good life. To go. And I've got the word of God and the power of God. They can bring forth fruit. Well, Pastor Harper, you don't understand. That's just not been my experience thus far. Well, since when has your experience superseded or taken precedence over the reality of the power of the Word of God? And that's where repentance ought to take place. That you said that my experiences are of greater, I'm trusting more in my experiences than the reality of what the Word of God says. As you say, Father, would you please forgive me for trusting me more than I trust your word? Because you've been set apart, ordained, to go. Set apart specifically as the chosen of God to bring forth love, joy, meekness, goodness, temperance, faith, and have it remain. And you've been set apart to find your life in a situation. I need a whatsoever. I tell my wife today, I said, my life is in a situation right now that for me to do everything God wants me to do, I've got to have more of Him. I just got to have more of Him. And I want to have more of Him because I want to worship Him. I want to glorify Him with my life. And the reality is, that's what God chose me for. So it's not like I have to calculate and figure out some magnificent way to accomplish God's will. I just have to start walking in the reality of God's choice. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Next time you pray, begin with thanking God that He's your friend. Praise Him, if you're saved, that He chose you. And praise Him what He ordained you for. And praise Him for what the work, the occupation that He chose you to be involved in. His occupation, again, is to go, to bring forth fruit, that fruit that remains. And have a relationship with the Father that when you ask, you receive. May God help us all to walk in the reality of God's choice. If you shared a burden tonight of what you want to worship God for in a greater way, God ordained you for that. That's what you were ordained for. That's part of God's choice. Walk ye therein. Does it matter what you see in anybody, in any other Christian's life? Or I should say professing Christian. Because the Bible should judge nothing before the time. There's no standard for people except for the Word of God and Jesus Christ. If you follow a Bible example, if you can't prove with the Bible, you better just let it go. Follow faith. Because the just shall live by faith. And then he tells us, for these things I command you, that you love one another. He said, you know what he's saying? He said, I'm so good to you. Why don't you be good to each other? If the world hate you. And see, this is a pretty good life for us, but the world isn't like that, because the world loves themselves so much, they'd rather have their own ordination. They'd rather have their own way of living, and they'd rather not ask God for anything, because that means they have to admit weakness if they need God's help. That's why many people don't get saved. Because they don't want to, they can't comprehend that they need God's mercy. They keep wanting to do it. It's like, that's where I was. You know, I mean, God, surely I have to do something to be saved. I got to do something. He said, repent in your heart and trust me. But yeah, but Lord, I got to do something, you know. And no, he said, I already did it. That's what the temple veil was rent in two. No more sacrifices. No more offerings. There's nothing you can do. That's what the Bible says, for all our righteousness is our filthy rags. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you bind the spirit of fear and unbelief that's in this room right now. There is a heart's cry desire, Father, of those who would like to walk in reality of this, of your choice. But Father, there is a spirit of fear here right now, which we know is not from you. So based on the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to rebuke the spirit of fear and allow your word to be received with gladness, and allow your word to be received with joy, and allow your word to be received with expectation of a walk and a life that represents the salvation that you described in the Bible. Bring it all to pass by the power of the name of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Amen. Because basically everything we're talking about can be summed up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Many of you know it. Most of you probably could quote it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. This is different. This is a different life than what we started out with. Old things have passed away. Why? Because God made a choice. God made an ordination set us apart. God said to go, bring forth fruit, and that fruit that remains. And all things become new. And that word new there has a couple of different applications. It also means fresh. That's fruit that remains. Kind of like Psalm 31, verse 23, this is, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God keeps our life new. His mercy is new every morning. I think it says in the book of Lamentations. Thank God for that. Is that good news? Am I the one getting it? I think that's good news, amen. Somebody ought to shout. They ought to be happy. That, wait a minute. This is for me. This is what I've been chosen for. Forget about however you've been living, but this is what you've been chosen for. And choose to believe God. I got a note I wrote in my Bible. I can't remember this. I can't remember who's preaching. I remember this old preacher. And I can see his, he was thin, he was wiry, he had gray hair. I can see. He said, start now believing God. Amen. More closes in prayer.